From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
No, it's wah.
There are four lights.
I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On ill average. It's Monday night, June 22nd, 2011.
And this is show 114. And you are fiddling around with your microphone. It sounds like you are juggling your microphone.
I am juggling my microphone. We've had technical difficulties tonight, folks, because it's been like a month since we've done a podcast. And frankly, we've forgotten how technically difficult this is.
This is some high-tech shit going on. I am amazed that we're capable of doing this.
It's like sending a ferret to two moons. Yeah. That's how difficult it is.
By the way, you know how I said you should hold the microphone up to your mouth so I can hear you better?
Am I talking louder now? Is it obnoxious?
No, but yeah, just belay that order because it's all breath and clunks and stuff. So this is all stuff that people on the podcast cannot hear. It's just only I can hear it over the Skype connection.
That's all right. I made some clunks that only they can hear that you will hear later when you mix down our voices.
Thank you for that.
But yes, the technical difficulties do require a Cray supercomputer from like 1971, not like a current Cray supercomputer.
I thought I read somewhere that the iPhone 4 has as much computing power as a Cray supercomputer from like 1985 or something like that.
Really? As late as 85?
Something like that. I could be entirely wrong, but that's what I recall reading on the interwebs. Somebody look that up and double check me.
We will have the monkeys look that up.
Yeah. So,
Cray's come up. I've started reading this book about Ticketmaster, or based, not Ticketmaster itself per se, but the whole ticket industry and where it came from. And Cray fits into it. That's all I'll say about that.
Wow. That's fascinating. Oh, there you go. You're juggling and you dropped again.
See, one more like that and one of the ferrets headed to one of the moons dies.
You are fired from the circus for being a lousy clown.
You sound all like woggly, like your voice was put into an accordion or something.
Oh, you also sound like a robot as well.
Well, I don't look like a robot. You look like a robot.
This is some fascinating radio right here.
Let's get to it. I have one silly thing. We've done so many things in this past period since the last time.
And we have so many things in the year since we've did our last podcast.
Pretty much. And we have so many more that, like, the reason we haven't done a podcast is we've been so freaking busy in a good way.
And you get what you pay for, America.
That's right. So what we're saying is we're going to require about $10,000 of donations to continue the podcast.
That's right. No, actually, what we've been doing over the past 4 weeks or however long it's been is a whole bunch of what amount to invisible podcasts. That is, podcasts that last literally like a microsecond in order to bring down the average. So all you snarky idiots out there, you talk a lot longer than 5 to 10 minutes. That's how you all sound.
Anyway. And because we're so technologically prowessy, we have been beaming them directly to your brains. So you may not be aware that you are carrying with you, maybe a total of a fifth of a second of our content in your heads. But you are.
Yep. Whether you want to or not. So let's get to it. What's the silly thing you were speaking of?
Oh, just, it's not a battle, it's one, more of one of those, it's a think piece.
Okay.
All right. You have to choose one, but what animal would you most like to be eaten by? That is, you are going to be eaten by an animal, you will be conscious, choose your doom. What animal?
Oh, so I'm going to be conscious and feeling everything while this happens?
I suppose it depends on the animal, but at least when you first see the animal, and you will see the animal.
Right. I will go with a surprise appearance by the Cloverfield monster, because it'll be over quick.
Hmm. Well, maybe. I mean, in some instances, it could be a rather cruel death.
You did not say that I couldn't choose the manner of death. You just said which you have to set your terms.
Well, I think you've made if your thing is quick death, that may be a hasty assumption.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't think I want to be eaten slowly.
Well, I mean, but
unless I'm eating. Okay, how about this? I'm eating in the belly of the Sarlacc.
There we go. Digested over a period of 1,000 years.
Yeah, you can get a lot done in that time.
See, I always wondered that. Like, when I was a kid, at least, when I first saw it, I assumed that somehow you would be alive that whole time. Like,
yeah.
Somehow the Sarlacc kept you alive because it's a dick. And that for 1,000 years, it digests you and just taunts you with its digestion somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're in my belly.
Yeah, but it can't possibly live on just one person. In that one battle scene alone, it gobbles at least a half dozen.
Yeah,
you'd have company. You know, that wouldn't be so bad. 1,000 years.
I think that's like a sitcom setup. They should have made like a sitcom spinoff of like Boba Fett and several random troopers who just sort of set up an apartment in the belly of the Sarlacc.
That would be pretty awesome. Just sort of resign. It would be like Gilligan's Island. They have crazy schemes to get out of the pit.
Yeah, and at a certain point they give up and it just becomes more like The Odd Couple, where, like, you know, Boba Fett's a slob and the Stormtrooper number 6 just can't handle it because he's a neat freak.
Well, it starts like Friends, but by like the 5th season, you know, all of them have died off. That would be genius. It starts out as an ensemble.
It evolves down to a one-man show eventually. At a certain point, it goes through a Seinfeld period.
Then it becomes the Vagina Monologues.
And
the Sarlacc, you know?
That fabled sitcom, the Vagina Monologues.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was on Canadian television. I forget that you're not Canadian like me.
That's right, I forgot. So anyway, what animal would you choose to get eaten by, Mr. Define Your Terms?
Well, I have two schools of thought on the subject.
He said with a lateralist.
One is indeed the quick death method, in which case I'd say painless death. Uh-huh. So maybe something that, like a certain snake, where it might paralyze you and then eat you.
Uh-huh. Because
the other part is, if you're going to die, you know, why make it quick? You get, even if it's really painful, why not get the most out of life? But if it's something that completely stuns you where you don't feel, and you at least get to experience seeing yourself being eaten, at least that's better than not.
Oh, that sounds like a real blast.
Doesn't it, though? I mean, versus nothing. I mean, what do you want? A plate full of nothing or broccoli?
A plate full of nothing or a plate full of snake eating you?
Yeah, exactly. If it's not painful, you know?
Uh-huh, uh-huh, gotcha. Okay. And what's your other school of thought?
Well, the other was... Right,
the quick death, right.
Right. Gotcha. And the only problem with the quick death scenario is the certainty of it. I mean, these are wild and or mythological or otherwise fictional animals. Mm-hmm. So, and I think picking an intelligent animal is cheating because it's not really an animal.
Yeah.
So you can't pick,
your neighbor Fred.
Right, or Bugs Bunny, you know. Right. Yeah, I'm going to eat you. That would be a funny death.
Get eaten by Bugs Bunny. I like that a lot. I think that's going to be, if I ever get a tattoo, I'm going to get a tattoo of myself being eaten by Bugs Bunny.
Wow.
Like Chuck Jones era Bugs Bunny, not like, you know, Friz Freeling or anything like that.
No,
Bugs.
Or like the really old Bugs Bunny with the sort of oblong,
yeah, the rounded stinky Bugs Bunny,
Down syndrome Bugs Bunny.
Oh man, you're gonna get some emails now.
Well, no, it's a physical characteristic, you know. And Bugs Bunny was very clever.
He was high functioning.
Bugs Bunny. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, we'll go.
No,
We'll skate right past that,
to dig me out as much as should be. At this point, we have some general musings, but God, it's like here's a list that I wrote down of what we've done since the last time we've talked to you folks.
Mm-hmm.
we have been to the UK.
Yep.
We have been in the English Channel. Well, not in it, but we crossed it on our way to Amsterdam. We have been furiously planning and then launched Joko Cruise Crazy 2 and are still working on that.
Yep.
We have been planning for Woodstock San Diego.
Yep.
Continue to do that. We have been working quite heavily on a new creative thing that we can't say exactly what it is, only that we're very excited about it.
A project.
A project that, my gosh, it's a biggie. And then something else that is planning that is even bigger. I think it's safe to say that if it works out, it's going to be even bigger than Woodstock.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, since we're doing all this cagey talk, I will say a thing that people have been asking about that we'll share some details about. We are working actively to try and get more of our songs on Rock Band.
Yes, yes, we are.
So there's a thing where we don't just say, we have another secret thing we're doing. Sure, hope we can tell you sometime. That's how I always sound.
I think we need a new rule, which is for every, like, cagey secret thing that we drop, we need to solve one. Like Lost, we need to...
Right.
To for every answer, there's a question and vice versa.
Yep. I'm for that. Yeah, we went to the UK and you brought home for yourself a metric shit ton of Jaffa cakes.
Yes, I did. So for you UK folks and Amsterdamish folks, or folks who were at Amsterdam at any rate, whether or not you are Dutch, thank you. For both the Jaffa cakes and the random candies, the real licorice.
You mean that bullshit stuff that you ate?
You were
like as if on a dare.
You were talking so loud in the Netherlands. You'd have had your butt kicked Dutch style, sir.
I was never dumb enough to put that awful substance into my mouth, though.
Yeah. Uh huh.
We're talking about licorice. Or the fake licorice, the bullshit licorice.
Now you're just trying to bait me, and it's sad. Because I have a gigantornamic bowl full of awesome real licorice, and nobody does licorice like the Dutch.
And you're going to have that bowl for like 8 years because nobody eats that stuff.
No one else in my house, so I'm a happy guy. But yes, Jaffa cakes in particular, I don't know if I ever directly asked for people to give them to us.
We more or less did.
Yeah, in effect we did.
In not so many words.
And it was literally a suitcase full of Jaffa cakes. I had brought a very large suitcase. It didn't fill that one, but it would have filled one of my pretty big suitcases. You went home with some as well.
I did. I absconded with some.
I still have quite a few.
Well, now here's a question.
Yeah.
And this is for you and me and the listeners out there. Just how big a dick move, if at all, was it for us to essentially solicit for people to bring us Jaffa cakes?
See, I think we struck the right balance.
Mm-hmm.
Like we do sometimes talk about fame and that our relative level of it and how... Yeah. Really, it's sort of a nice level where it's sort of cool and fun, you know? Mm-hmm. I just think it is really neat that we could talk about something like that and something that we love. And it just feels real to me to do
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of those, like, you know, as we have said, you know, we are at a point where, you know, certainly not every show and not hundreds of people, but we are at a point where people will often bring us stuff. Sometimes it's panties, sometimes it's cookies, sometimes it's whatever, excuse me, biscuits. But, you know, when you reach a point where people with some degree of regularity offer to bring you things, and if they're going to do it anyway... To nudge them in mm-hmm. the direction of a thing that you would actually enjoy and appreciate. Not that we don't enjoy everything that everyone always brings us. Everything's always wonderful, mm-hmm. he said, covering our collective ass. But, is that so wrong?
You know, Marion Call, our friend Marion Call, singer-songstress, does that as well. She realized she was eating like shit on the road. She wasn't eating shit, but, you know, really poorly. And she's on the road a lot because she lives in Alaska.
Yep.
She started asking her fan base, if you're going to bring me something, bring me fresh fruit. And that was brilliant.
That is pretty damn smart. But she's pretty damn smart.
She's a smart one, that Marion Call.
She's smart cookie, that one.
In fact, because she stayed here, she had a gig in Virginia, she and her accompanist du jour, Brian, or rather one of her regular accompanists. And hey, I still got the fruit, man. I still got the fruit.
All right.
So thank you, Marion Calls fans. I'm pretty sure some of you are out there. I enjoy your
thank
fruit.
Thank you, Marion Calls fans. Storm's got them sitting right next to his awful, awful licorice. In bowls next to each other, and the licorice is going to infect the fruit, the perfectly fine fruit.
Oh, the fox. Oh, the fox. He says that the licorice is sour.
The fox says the licorice is sour is the front runner for the title of this episode.
I have a couple of recommends, unless you wanted to still talk about...
No, I don't have... I mean, there's all kinds of stuff we could talk about the UK. We had a wonderful time. We cannot wait to be back. We had a wonderful time in Amsterdam. First time either of us had ever been there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That place was amazing. Just being there, it's sort of the cliche of what Americans think a European city is like.
Yep.
Just sort of the way the streets are laid out, where it's very walky. Although my catchphrase the whole time was, there are more ways to die in Amsterdam than any place else on the face of the earth.
Yeah, most of them by bicycle.
Yeah, bicycle, you can fall into a canal, you can be hit by a boat, you can fall off a bridge, you can be run over by another pedestrian. People walk kind of fast there, they're probably tourists.
You get hit by a tram.
A car, you can fall from high things, you can drown.
You could get run into by a high-speed train.
Yep, Cloverfield Monster was there.
Dike collapse.
Or ingesting too much licorice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go to Amsterdam. It's a dangerous place, but charming.
I was going to say, as a person who had never been there before, if you want to know what Amsterdam is like, Edinburgh, Scotland, I have always maintained is basically like Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Amsterdam is kind of Diagon Alley.
Very much so.
With like more weed. You know, like the evil part of Diagon Alley? That place smells like Amsterdam.
Well, parts of Amsterdam.
Parts of it. Well, I'm not saying Amsterdam smells bad. I am saying the smell of Amsterdam, which is sort of, you know, water and the sort of overarching smell of boo, shall we say, in certain sections. That's what I've always pictured the evil parts of Diagon Alley to smell like.
Okay, so to recap the entirety of Paul and Storm's Amsterdam experience, it's dangerous and smells like the bad parts of Diagon Alley.
Yeah.
And we loved it, that's the thing.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
And I can't wait to go back. Can only spend a day there, but... I want to spend an entire lifetime in Amsterdam because I like death and Diagon Alley, damn it.
Yeah. You need a new wand anyway.
Yeah. Gosh, I sort of feel like I don't want to talk about the cruise too much, but that's what has been on our minds mostly the past 2 weeks.
It has basically been owning us for the last roughly 2 weeks.
And we got kind of caught with our pants down on it, in a good way, like we enjoyed it. But we were...
That's the right way to enjoy your pants being down.
Hey, if you're going to be down, enjoy yourself. But we were prepping and all the rest, really building an entire travel booking engine from scratch. Now, it wasn't Paul and I that were doing the actual programming, of course. It was Team Jonathan Colton, Jonathan in Scarface, his able assistant. And we were expecting maybe... The best case scenario, realistically, maybe 60 to 100 berths.
Over that first week or so.
Yeah.
Certainly over the first weekend if things went awesome.
And in comparison, we had, I think, like 325 attendees last year.
Yep.
And as soon as it opened, I'm trying to think of what movie it was like. I'm thinking like, you know, trading places where the market opens. Oh, Wall Street. Yeah,
the price of OJ just started skyrocketing.
Yeah. Oh, pork bellies. There they go. off to the races. And in the first day, once you account for sort of us catching up, we had booked like 275 berths.
It was kind of insane and beyond everyone's expectation.
But
in the good way.
Yes.
So thank you for that, Sea Monkeys.
And we actually had to stop booking because we needed to catch up. We're almost caught up. So by the time this podcast comes out, probably booking won't be open again, but
we'll be very close. Things are officially moving now, and we are moving towards a definite new actual date of booking opening again. I'd use the word soon, but people are starting to get mad at me for using that word because it has a very flexible definition according to the booking process.
Sort of a Carl Sagan soon.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, a geological soon.
Yeah, the geological soon is where it's at. But there are still plenty of berths available. Really, we max out at around 800.
Or so.
Yeah, I would have said it was crazy. But we're not going to reach that. I'd say it's not fantasy land. You know, I don't think it's likely, but...
It's Tomorrowland, but it's not Fantasyland.
Right. And my cat has grabbed the cord of my headset again.
As he is wont to do.
Yeah, I feel bad for Marion and her accompanist, Brian.
Your cat terrorized them?
Yeah, he kind of cornered them a few times.
They don't know how to work Reinhold the way I do.
No, but Brendan, our friend Brendan from Groove Lily... was over and is totally like Reinhold's best bud.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's Brendan. Everybody loves Brendan.
It's true. It's true.
Where else? What else we got? So we talked cruise. Yeah. Yay cruise. Yay UK trip. Yay Amsterdam. Woodstock's coming.
Yeah.
We're going to start announcing guests very soon.
And I'm very super, uber-like excited. This weekend we're going to Convergence. In Minneapolis.
Technically, I think it's called Convergence Con.
Well, okay.
Which I am not. Con. From this moment on, I am always going to refer to it when speaking it out loud as Convergence Convergence.
But will you use the lateral lisp when you say it?
Depends on how deep a fit of pique I am in.
Huh. Because our con experience, we we're a little bit experienced. We're not naive waifs here. But it's not like we've been to every con in the nation and done the whole circuit. We've always heard awesome things about Convergence Con.
Yep.
And I'm excited to see it all in action. Going to be involved with a number of panels in addition to our own.
Yeah, we're going to be like all over that con. We'll publish our schedule on our website. By the time this comes on the thingy, the internet, we'll have our schedule, our Convergence schedule up on our website.
You know, I think we should make it our thing, or if you're not down with it, I'll just make it my thing, but I think you'll be down with it, to really do the photos with the cosplayers thing, you know? Really do it up.
Yeah, I think we're going to need a diehard session, maybe spend a couple hours just cruising around, getting in with as many cosplayers as possible. I'm totally down with that.
I think we should attempt to get like nice posed pictures, you know, not like the family's gathering on the steps and everybody's a bunch of, you know, fence pole type pictures. Nice mm-hmm. pictures with 1,000 cosplayers.
I might not be so down with that.
I'm just saying. No, no.
You know what? That's you. That's your goal now.
You can.
I'll be up for a batch of it, but 1,000, unless it's a group shot.
That's what I'm saying. All it takes, you know, really to help us with our numbers is. You know, the 501st say, you know, if they're there.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the goal. I'm not saying that's going to be my entire focus, you know, not to the detriment of me enjoying everything at the con.
Right.
But I think it's a gateway to help enjoy it, you know, kind of a goal, a MacGuffin. Cosplayers are my MacGuffin.
That's not a front runner.
No, it's not. Too calculated. But I only came up with this idea of the 1,000 cosplayer photo shoot just now. So that's real.
Okay.
So if you're going to be at Convergence Con, and you are costumed, come see me, and you're going to get your picture taken.
Okay. Degree of difficulty?
All right.
You're not allowed to take a picture, like, standing on the stage while we're performing and pointing the camera, you know, sort of holding it out and pointing the camera at yourself and the entire audience.
I agree.
That won't count.
It defeats my purpose.
Yep.
Which is to be a spectacle. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's good.
So there's that. Looking forward to Comic-Con. Bloody Blue. We're going to be at Dragon Con. We're officially now on the actual Dragon Con roster of music performers. Not that we weren't official before, but I've been, like, hoping they'd eventually add us on the website. And they did.
So we're officially official.
We're officially official. So we're going to be there. We're going to do, like, panels and shit. We're going to be doing our performance at Dragon Con, as well as a performance outside of Dragon Con the night before. Mm-hmm. It is going, we're just storming Atlanta as if we were, did Sherman do it Atlanta, was, or was that Grant, or who was in charge of taking down Atlanta? That's
your mission while we're in Atlanta, is to ask people if it was Sherman who burned Atlanta.
Hey, wasn't that awesome Sherman dude that burned Atlanta? Which awesome Union winner was it that sacked Atlanta?
I hope it was Sherman, because he was my favorite. You know,
Sherman,
you know,
was
what
the
I mean?
Best. Sherman got things done.
Of course, at Dragon Con, if you say Sherman, they're more likely to think it's from Rocky and Bullwinkle,
yeah.
So it won't matter. Have to get pretty far out of downtown for that to really be in play.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I doubt anyone dresses as General William Tecumseh Sherman at Dragon Con. I don't think he's featured.
My mission is clear.
Wouldn't that be great? Like a whole gaggle of people. Someone has to do a comic based on the life of General Sherman.
Yeah. And then, like, just to make it absolutely clear, I would wear my Sherman outfit, and then I would wear a huge sign around my neck saying General William Tecumseh Sherman. Yeah. I would walk around with, like, a flamethrower.
You also need a flame retardant suit and
and about 90 bodyguards.
Yeah, and you would need a codpiece made out of, like, 2-foot-thick iron, which would be amusing to see.
That would be pretty great in and of itself.
You'd need one of those mecha suits to get around with that kind of codpiece.
I'm going to go as a robo-Sherman.
Mecha Sherman.
So you said you had some recommends.
Yes, which I think that you will be behind as well, so mm-hmm. chime in. Mm-hmm. These are two products, musical-type products,
okay.
that everyone in the world should run out and buy immediately.
Yep. Yep.
Like, don't even wait for me to recommend them. Go, get them now.
No, get it now.
Number one is Alpocalypse. I would be surprised if most of you don't already have it or aren't aware of it, but it is Weird Al's latest. And
I believe it is his 13th studio album, I believe, is the number I read.
Wowzy wow, yes.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. And it is everything that is Al, which is timeless and current at the same time, and that sounds so douchey.
Yeah, that was pretty douchey.
It's kind of
got
douchey.
Totally where you were going for with
well,
that.
Yeah, basically that no one does like Al the song craftsmanship. Particularly in the rhyming humor department, which is something that we know a little about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing that he fuses that with impeccable production, as you know, but that it is because it is Al that it really works.
Yeah.
And
I actually use Al Weird Al albums as a gauge of how old I am getting, specifically how many songs I even recognize, much less know at all in the polka medley that he does mm-hmm. every album.
Yep.
I didn't do so hot this time around.
No, my batting average was still low for a Major League Baseball player. It would be high still. I think that's the moment when you know it, and it's not Al, but pop culture is just wrong. Because that's the thing. I think it used to be, even if you weren't in the age gap to know pop music, you were still exposed to it enough that you would recognize it.
Yep.
Less the case now. But I still love that feeling. Like, it's the same feeling that I had. Like, I remember back when we were in Da Vinci's Notebook and riding around hither, thither, and yon. When the album came out, and it's almost like opening a present.
Yep.
And good to have that feeling back. So that's Alpocalypse. And there's
yep.
also, I got the Super Ooper Collector's Edition that has the videos as well, which is recommended as well. The second is less well known. I think we've talked about them before and even played some of their music before.
Mm-hmm.
A band called Tally Hall.
Yep.
Five young gentlemen from Michigan, whose first album was on repeat on our iPods and CDs and everything else and in our brains for about a year. They finally got around to releasing their latest. It is called Good and Evil. If you enjoy well-crafted pop music that has interesting changes, great melodies, a lot of mystery to it, and just very catchy, it is for you. And you should buy it.
I concur.
So that's the recommend section.
Yeah. How many minions do we have at this point?
I didn't count, and there are a lot, and there have been more. There have been more.
I shall look. Kill some time.
Yeah. Well, I do have other things here. One thing that... I can do a little bragging if that's okay.
Please do.
So, I find that Reddit.com is a terrific sorbet throughout the day. Although I've sort of crossed the line with it. Sort of, at first you sample and you look at some lolcats and see what the latest meme to percolate in, and then you find yourself getting in really deep, and I've gone there, where you're looking through batches of new things, new submissions that are just mind-bogglingly strange sometimes. You start to enjoy that and finding that little gem and hoping that it rises to the top. If you don't know what Reddit is, don't worry, you will. And you should, it's fun. But I managed to get onto the front page of Reddit. Yes. And I've sort of been studying Reddit for a little while. Like, when you first discover a website, or something like Twitter or Facebook, sort of learn, like, what the community is like, what people respond to, like hashtag games on Twitter. You want to have fun with it. And there it was. There's like a facial recognition website, I guess, uses symmetry and some algorithm where you put up a picture and it will determine how beautiful are you, right? You there, Paul?
I am here.
Okay, good.
I'm just letting you go because you're speaking poetry.
Oh, sure. Yes, this is my Reddit slam. Yes, so this website, which I'm not going to name because I actually think it's just despicable, you can put a picture up, you put dots on the face, and it'll tell you how beautiful you are. And on Reddit, people will put up pictures of them making really funny faces or like a mugshot and, you know, ha ha ha. So I decided I would take a Muppet, and in particular I thought of Bert as in Ernie and Bert, and see how he fared. And it turns out he scored a zero, which was very sad to me. My thought was that Muppets are symmetrical, pretty much. The only problem is they're not really human faces. You know, they have style to them, but they're not really human. So it's unnatural. And if they're using your typical human as a template, then it's not going to work so well. So I put the photo of the results up just with the caption, "Poor Bert," and it landed up on the front page. But it got me thinking. It did get me thinking. Mm-hmm. Muppets, to my eye, they're not ugly. In fact, I've had crushes on Muppets. Might laugh at me, but Janice...
Janice.
Uh-huh. In Dr. Teeth.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you said and Dr. Teeth.
No.
Almost just got very interesting, yeah.
No. There was the one, especially the puppet when they did the da na 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 na.
Yeah, the dancing.
The cute Muppet, you know. The Gelflings.
Yeah.
You had crushes on Muppets.
The Gelflings were both very pretty, both the male and the female, I gotta say.
They were sort of androgynous. It was Jim Henson's androgynous phase, and David Bowie kind of fed into that around that time as well. That's not true. He did not really go through an androgynous phase. At any rate, that's what really makes it seem like bullshit to me, because almost all the Muppets failed, like got zeros.
Yeah.
The only ones that scored well, and I'm going to be putting up a chart on this, were not too surprising. The ones that were derived from humans, the Gelflings, actually, they scored way the highest. But right under that was the Swedish Chef, and scored pretty well, actually. And yeah, the rounder-faced Muppet seemed to fare the best. Don't know why.
Yeah.
But that's bullshit. Like, because when you look at a lot of those Muppets, they are beautiful to me. So the idea that you can boil it down to some even within saying, you know, the average human is jive, I declare it jive. And once I've declared something jive...
Oh, there ain't no undeclaring.
Nope, done, jive.
Ah!
Sorry.
Just heard some weird noise. What was that?
That was the microphone scraping against the pop
cat
filter.
Oh, I was really hoping you were going to say the cat.
No, the cat is at my feet, just waiting for me to fuck up in some way.
As you always certainly will in his eyes.
Well, I mean in the context of moving my toe in just the wrong way that he'll...
Moving your toe in a threatening manner.
Right, and he'll lop it off.
Right. Okay, well, we have that to look forward to. But we're up around 36-ish minutes now. I think that's a pretty good haul for one day, don't you?
I do. And what's the minion total?
The minion total is, he said, has it in front of him, is 416 minions, Storm.
Oh, my God. That's almost an army.
Almost.
Almost. Just a few more, and we can begin the invasion. So
I believe 472 is the official demarcation point for army, isn't it?
If you go back far enough in history, yes. 472 was an army. So please go to pollenstorm.com. I believe if you click on podcast, you will find information on how to join the Pollenstorm Brigade of Minions so we can complete our army and do something with it.
You certainly will. As a reminder, this weekend, weekend prior to July 4th, we're at Convergence in Minneapolis, and on the 21st of July, we're at the Balboa Theater for Woodstock 3.0, and then our next actual public show after that point is on the 2nd of... what is that word? September.
Crumboni.
Second of Crumboni. The Crumboni of September. We're at the Variety Playhouse with Jonathan Colton, and we're at Dragon Con all that weekend. And then there's going to be a bunch of fun stuff coming up in the fall, he said. Willing it to happen.
We've spent our cagey quotient for the day, I'm afraid.
We have. I'm not being cagey. I'm just like, we gotta book some fucking gigs.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of true. And it's also kind of true that I'm Storm.
And I'm Paul.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, millions of peaches. Peaches for me.
Go do things.